You are back with The Conversation. This is Catherine Cruz, and today on our call-in show, we're talking about rubbish. Joining us on the line this morning, Lori Kaikina, the Director of Department of Environmental Services here in Honolulu, Bob Smith and Tamara Farnsworth from Maui County. Smith represents the Solid Waste Division. Farnsworth is the county's Environmental Protection and Sustainability Supervisor. And Allison Fraley is the Solid Waste Program Development Coordinator on Kauai. And joining me in studio is State Representative Takashi Ono. He represents Liliha, Pu'unui, Aleva Heights, and Nu'uanu. And he has some ideas about how the state can help the counties with illegal dumping. Good morning. Welcome to you all.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
We've got quite a crew on today. But, you know, Lori, I probably should start out with you. You know, you've got your hands full with the bulky waste system changes, but we do have some stormy weather. Winds have been picking up. You know, this is hurricane season. So how do we deal with the impending windy weather when it comes to bulky pickup?
Oh, when there's a lot of wind expected, high winds, we do recommend homeowners to pull back their bulky items, put it back on their property until the winds have passed over. But as of right now, we don't see that all the appointments that have been made so far over the weekend, we should be fine, and we'll be there on Saturday to pick up.
Okay, so it's just really kind of it's case by case, I guess,
correct,
right?
Correct.
Yeah, and I think we may be lucky that we're going to be dodging these two storms in our neighborhood, but there's always a next time.
Absolutely.
Well, if you could set the stage about the changes to the bulky waste program to our listeners out there. What's different?
Sure. So in the past, there was an appointment system with the bulky waste. Previous administrations have changed that to make it pretty much a free-for-all. You put out as much as you want for free, and we pick it up, and it's overwhelming our system. It's not sustainable. Within the last 10 years, we've seen an 80% increase in just bulky tonnage alone. I know Lee Cataluna did an article, and she mischaracterized the amount of increase in tonnage. She said it's all of our trash. I'm just referencing bulky trash. Without any increase in staffing trucks, we're still having to pick up more with the same amount of resources. So we're thinking we have to change. As a community, we have to change, because even if it's a monthly set out, every third Wednesday of the month, people put out, we collect it, and then people start dumping again, whether it's the residents in the area or someone driving by. And what we've seen in other municipalities in the mainland, we went to San Francisco and Sunnyvale. They used to be like us, and they have an appointment system now, which they've been using for many years. And they've seen a major drop in illegal set out. Now, I have to make a difference between illegal dumping and bulky. A lot of what we're seeing out there now is our illegal dumping, our hotspots, they've always been there. And what we're trying to do is change the culture of the community, that the city's not just going to pick up your rubbish. When you don't follow the rules and you just dump it whenever you want, wherever you want, you know, call us, put your trash in your correct trash, whether it's manual or your gray car, or come to our convenience centers and the bulky, make an appointment for us to come and pick it up. The other thing I want to stress are the reuse companies. So we are criticized that right now sometimes it can take 2 weeks to get, or 3 weeks to get an appointment, where if you call like the Salvation Army people, they're there 2 to 3 days. So one, as a community, we need to stop generating so much trash, and then if we have to, use the reuse companies and then call the city to make an appointment. So the pilot goes for about 6 months, till January. We are tweaking things. One major change that we've already had to instill starting last week, you can make online appointments, the multifamily units. We made it so that only one resident manager could make an appointment for the entire building, and the pushback from the community was that's not reasonable. Each unit wanted to have that flexibility. So we did change that. And we have seen an uptick in appointments in Waikiki especially. But some buildings do want to remain that, retain that control. And so those buildings, we've opted out. The resident manager will be the only one that can make an appointment.
And you mentioned manpower. What's the snapshot? Do we have a lot of vacancies as far as our refuse pickup? Do you know?
Yes. So for the refuse pickup, now these are bulky crews. So just in the Honolulu area, we have three bulky crews, two what we call soft goods. Soft goods is anything that is not white goods. White goods are your appliances, your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators. So we have two crews for soft and one for white goods. And my understanding, we're still having problems filling all of those positions. And so it's a challenge. It's not a very desirable position.
Okay. All right. And Representative Ono, what are you seeing in your neighborhood?
Well, I think the changes from ENV, they're a welcome step to improving the bulk item system. But I still think there are glaring holes in the system. I don't think these new changes are going to eliminate those hot spots that routinely collect unsightly bulky items. You see them when you're driving around public parks. You see them on the grassy easement strips off sidewalks. I don't think that's going to change. And I also don't think the changes are going to are sufficient to outsmart and catch the bad guys, these bad guys who selfishly throw their trash on the side of the street. The changes might make it easier to administer the program, but I think we should be making it harder for those violators who abuse the system and try to help out those folks who unfortunately live at a corner where couches and chairs just happen to pile up. I don't think the changes are going to address those things.
And so as far as any legislation then, where do you see is going?
Well, I serve at the state level, and while the state does not have the responsibility of picking up rubbish, bulky items, I do think there are ways which we can help. First of all, the Department of Transportation or any state agency, I think, should take a hard look at converting some of their vacant lots to either parking areas or alternative uses, because oftentimes these small parcels of state land that are vacant can attract couches and mattresses. And once one person puts out the first one, you know what's going to happen the next day. I think that also if there's state property that can be used for refuse transfer stations, I think that's a great place for the state and city to partner. We need more refuse stations in urban Honolulu, specifically around areas where there are renters, because I think that some of the renters who may just not be familiar with the system or just have to move quickly end up putting a lot of their trash, their bulky items, improperly outside their home. The Contractors Licensing Board, I think, has a part to play. I've heard from my constituents, when you see bathroom vanities and drywall on the corners, you know that some of this stuff isn't coming from just renters moving. I think those contractors might want to try to take a shortcut. They might want to save a buck because it does cost money to put some of their items at the refuse stations. I think that Contractors Licensing Board needs to either revoke their license or add a stiff penalty to deter that behavior. And finally, when we're talking about long-term and communicating with families, I think the Department of Education has a role to play. They may have to institute anti-littering campaigns to reach families with the message that it's just shameful to dump bulky items improperly. We value clean streets. When we're trying to reach families who've been here for a long time or new families to our state, families who speak English, families whose first language may not be English, the best way to reach them is through our schools and a campaign to educate those kids.
Yeah, Malama the Aina. How many times have
exactly.
we heard that, right? Neighbor Islands, I know the folks there do things differently. You don't have the bulky waste system. What's the snapshot? Bob, Tamara, you want to talk about that?
Aloha, this is Tamara. Our office does manage a few programs, which include a residential appliance drop-off at our metals recycling facility, so all residents can take those white goods, stoves, refrigerators, washer, dryers, to the facility, which is located in Central Maui, and drop them off. We do have a couple of programs that we manage grants with that will address hotspots all over all of our islands for illegal dumping. And, you know, honestly, it's a work in progress. It's an issue, I think, everywhere in urban areas.
And is there any, time during the year where you see more of this?
I think it's pretty much year-round. We'll see Christmas trees at Christmas time and certain items like that, but it's pretty much an ongoing issue.
And Allison, what about Kauai?
Aloha, yes. Well, here on Kauai, we don't have a bulky item pickup program, and we really don't have problems with illegal dumping. What we do is we offer drop-off for residents at 4 transfer stations and the landfill for the white goods, and then we haul those to our central metals recycling facility. So, you know, we're paying the cost of hauling, but that does deter the illegal dumping because there's places for people to take them. And also, we don't get a lot of requests for bulky item pickup, so we just don't have that program. And then also for the soft goods, for the mattresses and the larger items, those we accept only at 2 locations, so those are a little bit more difficult for residents to manage, but they have been able to do it. So we accept them in Lihue and at the landfill in Kekaha.
And, you know, we should note that we did extend an invitation to Hawaii County to join us at our here for the call-in show, but they were unable to join. But they did mention that they have a real problem with the tires.
Yes, I was on the tire task force a few years ago. The state had a task force, and that, you know, I think there's problems all over the state, except for Kauai. We're very lucky that we also offer tire drop point for free for residents at all of our transfer stations at the landfill, so that's 5 locations on Kauai. We do spend a lot of money on that program, though it's not state-funded. It's a county program, but it does keep those tires, you know, out of off of the sides of the roads.
Okay, well, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz, and this morning our guests are Allison Fraley, the Solid Waste Program Development Coordinator on Kauai. Lori Kaikina is the Director of the Department of Environmental Services in Honolulu. Bob Smith and Tamara Farnsworth are from Maui County. Smith represents the Solid Waste Division, and Farnsworth is the county's Environmental Protection and Sustainability Supervisor. And joining me in studio is Representative Takashi Ono. And Representative, you were nodding your head when Allison was talking about the tires. What do you see in your neighborhood?
That's exactly right. I know some of my colleagues have had that similar issue of tires piling up. It's just so unsightly. I think that many of us who represent areas in urban Honolulu or in town around the island, although we serve at the state, we respond to constituents, all their concerns. And that came to a level that we asked folks to get together and convene to talk about this. And as the state entity, as a state level of government, we have the ability to try to help the different counties all come together to talk and tackle this issue.
And I know one big issue when we talk about trash is, you know, our limited capacity in the landfills. You know, I think we're all in the same boat. You know, what's the snapshot on Maui? How far out are we in reaching capacity there?
Well, this is Bob Schmidt. We've got about 3 years capacity currently at Central Maui Landfill, but we've already got plans in place to build another 3 to 4 years capacity in the works right now. We've got our plans with DOH for their approval, and we should be breaking ground to start that project later this year.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so you're moving ahead. Any concerns from community members, you know, about the expansion or, reciting?
No, we really didn't have any negative comments. Everyone's pretty much aware that, you know, landfills are necessary, and we need to have that capacity, and everyone does understand that, you know, without that, we're going to have a mess. So really no negative feedback, and you know, we go through a pretty rigorous permitting process with a lot of public or opportunity for public comment, and so far it's been good and well received.
And what's the snapshot on Kauai?
So we have 7 years left at the Kekaha landfill at this time. We're in the process of doing a lateral expansion. And we are looking at our options for a new landfill. We're really focusing on diversion, though. Right now, our diversion rate is 44%. We did a recent waste characterization study where we found that there is a lot of waste, such as construction demolition debris and paper waste, that can be diverted from the landfill. So we're focusing on trying to conserve airspace through diversion. And another thing that we're doing right now is that we have the integrated solid waste management planning process starting here on Kauai. Every county by law has to make a plan every 10 years. So we're excited to be dialoguing with an advisory committee and the public and all the stakeholders to figure out our best options for managing our waste into the future.
And Lori, where are we at with Oahu's landfill?
So our landfill has between 25 to 35 years left because we've been diverting so much. The majority of what's going into the landfill is our ash from the byproduct from H-Power.
Oh.
Hello?
Lori, you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we do have an RFP on the street right now to beneficially reuse the ash. Bids are due at the end of August, so hopefully there's technology out there that even that can now be diverted from the landfill, which extends the life even more.
And what is our diversion rate here? Do you know?
From
the landfill?
About 80%.
Wow. Okay, that is pretty high. That's pretty good. And you had that third boiler at the H Power, right?
Yes. Yes, correct.
And how's our volume doing? I know last time we talked, right. I think we had this issue where, you know, we have to pay a fee if we don't.
No, it's not a fee.
Well,
it's called a put or pay contract. Whether we deliver 800,000 tons of waste or not, we still pay for the 800,000 tons. That's why I was trying to work with the Outer Islands to see if we could possibly, because I know their landfill lifespan is shorter, if we could take their waste, but we just could not work out the cost of, especially the shipping. I can't waive the tipping fees, and even there's some permitting issues whether I can take another island's waste. But the waste generation is on the uptick. We were at 680,000. Now we're at about 700 to 750.
Okay, and then what's your, I guess, the forecast for when will change?
Well, as the economy improves, people start buying more and they start generating more trash. So I just think it's just going to keep rising. We do have a 900,000 ton capacity, but the contract is for 800,000. So if the MSW, municipal solid waste, keeps increasing, we can handle it, but that's not necessarily the right answer. We really need to stick to source reduction, stop generating so much trash in the first place.
I mean, that sounds like what we're hearing just across the board, whether it's from the environmental groups,
yes,
from the counties, on the state side, folks are really trying to emphasize what we can do as consumers,
yes,
to not generate trash.
Correct.
You know, Representative Ono, you talked about what can we do to get the messaging out in the schools, and I think we're trying that.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope we are, and I hope it's a more concerted effort. I feel it's a growing sentiment that while we live on a beautiful island in a beautiful state, some of our neighborhoods are looking trashier and trashier.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that other neighborhood boards, other elected officials, city council members also realize that of all the issues that face our state, this is one that deserves more attention. It's one that deserves more resources. The director just mentioned the shortfall in her staff. And of all those things, we also have to realize that government has to try to outsmart these folks who try to game the system, people who come by in the middle of the night, people who may know better but want to cut a corner. That's a challenge, and we've been trying to catch some of these folks who I think know that it's not proper to dump drywall and bathroom vanities on in front of the poor auntie's home at this on the side of the street. We've tried to think of different strategies of lighting different areas, video camera surveillance. I've tried to allow cell phone video and photo evidence to be used either by the department or by the prosecutor's office to bring some people to task and make an example of them. I hope that they're all eager to enforce, because while we may change the system, I do think some people have to be made an example of to send the message out to certain populations and groups who do these things that you're going to be watched, and we're going to try to catch you.
Catherine, yeah. can I add to that?
Yes.
So we have tried several times when we get the camera photograph to try and prosecute, and both prosecuting attorney's office and HPD says it's not enough. That's why I would love to work with Rep. Ono on this, because if some legislation can be passed that, yeah, the cell phone photos. So what we're doing at ENV is we checked with our corporation counsel. The department has some authority. We can use the video and the photos that people send in up to a point, and we can enforce. We can't go after them criminally, but we can do fines and penalties. So, yeah, all those ideas that he threw out, man, that's terrific. So I would love to partner with him any way to help the community out there.
Okay, we did have a caller on the line from Palolo, but the caller was shy, but I wanted to ask, what are some beginning steps to create less waste as an individual level? Is environmental consideration a factor? I don't know. Who wants to take that?
I can take a first stab. Like I mentioned, the reuse companies are terrific. We just had a brand new tour de trash last week, and it goes to different reuse companies, Restore Hawaii, Salvation Army. It's incredible what these companies do and what they take, and people can go in. They all have their stores that people can go there and shop at a reduced price. I think everyone knows about Salvation Army, but Restore Hawaii, you know, Habitat for Humanity, these folks are taking, instead of demolishing your building, your home, they come in and they take what they feel like your jealousies or your doors, your frames, and they have a store that you can go in and purchase at a discounted rate. So I think we just need to change our mindset. Not everything is trash. Maybe it's trash to you, but it's good for somebody else.
And what's the snapshot on Maui? Are there places like Reuse Hawaii on that island there?
Yes, this is Tamara again. We do have a Habitat for Humanity Restore that it doesn't necessarily take as many materials, but we certainly have that construction and demolition, some of the materials that you get from taking down homes. That would be the Habitat for Humanity Restore. We do have some thrift stores and other reuse stores available. Our office has been really focusing on getting messaging out and helping to empower our residents to reduce their waste in various ways. First is helping folks to learn how to recycle right. What we can recycle now, we're really working to help folks understand what we can and cannot recycle. As we know, there have been some global market challenges, and so there are fewer things that we're able to recycle, so we are focusing very much on waste reduction. We have a BYO, Everything Bring Your Own program that we are in the midst of launching now, where we are providing reusable food service items such as utensil kits, coffee cups, water bottles, of course, bags to replace plastic bags, anything that you can reuse. We're trying to empower individuals to bring your own and make plans. We have information and education towards personal habits that we can change, including, you know, just thinking about first, decide what you're going to buy and decide, do I really need that? Does it come in recyclable packaging? Is it minimal packaging? And really making some hard choices when you go shopping, you know, helping folks to plan and commit to more waste-free lifestyles. We are very much focused on waste reduction. And once we are kind of feeling good about working with our residents, we're going to start working towards reaching out to commercial entities, big box stores, and potentially piloting packaging type of shifts in so that we can reduce the type of packaging that is so rampant in these types of stores and in this and in that area.
Well, we should give a shout out to Maui County because
yes,
you folks were the
definitely.
First to ban the plastic bags, the styrofoam right. containers. I don't know, where are you at on straws, single-use straws?
Well, there's actually been a single-use plastic food service items bill that was brought up a couple of months ago. It does need some reworking, so we actually are working diligently towards that, and I would love to see that passed soon. They're also looking to expand and strengthen our plastic bag ban because there are a few, I guess, little loopholes in there that we want to strengthen. We're also hoping, you know, taking a look at a zero waste resolution. And how can we really move our county even further towards waste reduction and source reduction?
Well, I have to admit that it's taken a while, but my habits have changed. And I remember more to bring my bags when I go to the grocery stores and not try and run out of the store with like five things and, you know, things falling out of my arms when I get past.
Carry them in your purse. Carry them in your car. You know, I do the checklist, keys, glasses, bag, cup, utensils. I always make sure I have those things before I leave the house.
Okay, good point. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We are talking trash this morning, and you can join the discussion by calling 1-877-941-3689. Share your stories. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
I've been a longtime listener of Hawaii Public Radio, and I remember in the old days, prior to when we got the translators, out on the windward side where I live, we couldn't catch KIPO, so I used to sit in my car and listen to the jazz. I'm glad that the signal is stronger now and it's available statewide.
Member supported, Hawaii Public Radio. Radio with vision. Listen and see.
One ocean, one people, one canoe. HPR invites you to a screening of Moana Nui Akea, the documentary of Hokulea's landmark worldwide voyage, and a Q&A with Hokulea crew members. Sunday, August 18th in Waimea on Hawaii Island, Sunday, August 25th in Honolulu, and Saturday, August 31st in Lihue. Reserve your spot at hprtickets.org. Sponsored by Dawson.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Chaminade University and Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.
You are back with The Conversation, and today we are talking trash. We have a call-in show today, and we do have a call from Maui. Peter, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, I live in North Kihei, and my friends in South Kihei, they have a program. They have three bins, one for green waste, one for recyclable, and one for regular garbage. If that would come to whole Maui or what's happening. And also I went to the recycle center and they don't take any more mixed paper and no more household batteries, and Home Depot doesn't, not Home Depot, well, big stores, they don't take any more fluorescent tubes. So it goes everything in the landfill. And also, there's no hazardous waste recycling. Like, I was in California, I want to throw something away and say, no, we have a hazardous waste recycling. Everything goes to the hazardous waste. Like, your brake fluid, if you change it, you know, or transmission fluid, which goes to the garbage, and we will drink it eventually. But on the bright side, somebody will make lots of money to desalinating the salt water, because there will be no drinkable water on this island. So I'm just wondering,
Well, Maui, how do you want to respond to that?
I'm happy to respond to that. Those are a few things, so let me see if I can get to all of them. As far as the three-can plan pilot that is in currently in South Kihei, we're actually have been requested by the Environmental, Agriculture, and Cultural Preservation Committee to speak about our three-can plan curbside recycling program on Tuesday. And we're going to be talking about potentialities of expanding it island-wide. We have had that pilot in place for a few years without an expansion. We have a new administration who may be looking at expanding island-wide. Again, we're taking a look at it. Council has asked us to come and discuss it, talk about how it, if it's fiscally feasible, and you know how successful the program has been. So we are looking, we're actually taking a look at that right now. As far as the recycling center, as I mentioned, as you know, many of us know that there is a real global challenge with the commodities market, and we are having to take lesser and fewer types of materials these days, which is why we're really stressing everybody, you know, reducing their waste as much as possible. Household batteries, yes, we had to cancel that program. It was very, very challenging and very expensive to run that program. So we do ask that folks just wrap them up carefully and dispose of them with their trash. And as far as hazardous waste, we do have on Maui an annual hazardous household hazardous waste collection event. So you can go to our website, mauicounty.gov/recycle, for more information about that. The last one was in March, so you can we can look forward to another one around the same time. I also want to mention that we do have a used motor oil recycling program where all of your NAPAs, our Oluwalu Transfer Station, the Central Maui Landfill and Hana Landfill, as well as on Molokai and in Lanai, you can take your used motor oil there, and we're just starting to collect antifreeze at those locations as well. Again, look at our website for more information about the exact locations for those.
And I think across the state, I think there are events like that, particularly for like the hazardous waste collections. Folks just need to, I guess, jump on the website, health department or the counties, just to find those programs. Allison, what can you tell us about plastics on Kauai?
Well, as Tamara said, there have been some program changes because of the marketing, or you know, the world market for recyclables. For us, in plastics in particular, actually it was a year and a half ago, we had to drop plastic clamshells and plastic food trays. Even though they were number one and number two, they melt at different rates, and we were not able to market them. We have such a small population, generate so little in our Dropbox programs, but that by the time we have enough to send in a full container load, those materials, you know, are degraded and not recyclable. So we dropped that from the program, and people, you know, we put out news releases and we wrote signs on the bins, but people didn't really pay attention until we made these image-based signs that showed the plastic that we accept and the plastic that we don't accept now. And so that's when people became aware, wait a minute, you know, I can't recycle these things. And we're talking about like clam shells, like big plastic boxes that produce come in a lot more nowadays. And so a lot of supermarkets are using these clamshells to protect their products. And, you know, consumers are now having to make these choices knowing that they can't recycle the plastic. They take up a lot of space in their trash cans, and it's just heartbreaking when you're a recycler, you know, to know that you can't recycle these big chunks of plastic that are just everywhere flooding the market. Yeah. And I'm hopeful, first of all, that as Tamara was saying, that consumers can be educated and aware and reduce, because that is the first of the three R's, and it's often overlooked. It has been for years. Everyone's focusing on recycling, but if you reduce something, you're way ahead of the game, because it's not ever going to end up anywhere, you know. And so that we're hopeful that consumers can make those choices to reduce those materials. And also for produce, you know, go to the farmers markets because that's your freshest, most local product anyway. So a lot of the times, I don't want to say anything bad about the grocery stores. But anyway, I would like, and as Tamara had mentioned, you know, to work with the retailers to hopefully get them on board about what's recyclable and what's not so that consumers don't have to make such tough choices.
Right, and folks can grow your own lettuce.
Yeah.
Or your own greens, right? Okay, we do have another call coming in. Wayne from Waipahu. What's your question?
Hi. My question is just that I noticed the gentleman mentioned earlier that dumping the trash in front of the auntie's house in the corner can put an inconvenience on her and everyone else. We live down a very narrow road, which is both difficult on the residents and the garbage man who has to come and drive down there. So we have to move all of our carts to a certain area of the street every time there's a trash pickup and whatnot. With the bulk pickup, because of the way the corner is organized, it does end up in front of an elderly lady, we'll say plus 70s, and she's a renter on top of that. And if the bulk pickup was picked up on the third Monday as we're scheduled, it wouldn't be so much of an issue, but sometimes it'll sit there for a week, and then that causes the trash overflow to follow it throughout the week. And yeah, sure, we get the sink issues and contractor issues, but some of them are actually coming from the house. Also, in this same area, and if the main goal is to keep our streets clean, I'd like to follow up with, are the garbage truck drivers, is it their responsibility to pick up trash when they pick it up and it falls out of their car? Because that contributes to more of a mess than the actual bulk trash that we have on the corner. And, you know, we as a care home that we live in, we have many children, so we have diapers as well as adult diapers. And we've tried to go through the process of getting an extra bin, which is also a pain in the butt. We have to wait a year after being denied, which we're on a second year and still haven't gotten it. We recycle consistently. We overfill our recyclable bin as well as our trash bin. And I don't really see any, there's public ads about how to recycle and what to recycle, but on top of all that, there's always going to be trash. And the bulk pickup and the complaints about the trash company's sole purpose is to relocate trash. It's kind of frustrating to where they're trying to create laws to solve the problem when something as simple as clear trash bins, maybe larger trash bins, community large dumpsters given in areas would all be a proper solution.
Okay, well, you know, we feel your pain. You hit a lot of topics there. Lori,
yes.
You want to knock down that list?
Yes, so I'm hoping. Okay, so he's absolutely right. When there's tight lanes like that where we cannot get down, unfortunately, yes, it has to come all the way out, and he hit it right on the head as far as why there's illegal dumping and the bulky has gotten out of hand, because how our contract works with the union is, yes, you put it out on the first Monday and we have 3 to 4 days to pick it up, or 2.5 to 4 days to pick it up. And if we're short staffed, which we are in the Pearl City area where he's getting serviced from, we don't have bulky crews filled. So we're relying on guys to accept the overtime to go and do the bulky run. So that's what makes it even worse. That's why with the appointment system, only you know when your appointment is, and you put it out the night before and we pick it up the very next day. So it doesn't have that time to sit and people start adding on to the pile. And that's what we're trying to establish in the Honolulu, tweak out all of the make tweaks to the system so that we can roll this out island-wide. But he hit it right on the nail. The other thing about the extra cart, please call back ENV. You should not have him to wait 1 year. It takes 6 weeks to do an analysis, and if we deem that it's necessary, we will give you another one. I think depending on when you called, we did have a moratorium where we couldn't add more carts. Our routes are limited to 1,000 carts per route. And we cannot add any more per contract until we do route selection, which we just did. So we should be able to accommodate if you qualify for an extra cart. I forget what the third issue was.
Well, I know that he brought up the thing about whether the drivers should be responsible for picking up.
Yes. The answer is yes.
I know somebody who that happened to.
The answer is yes. So if he's on a manual route, definitely the guys are there. They should be cleaning it up. And if they're using an automated, everything in the cart should go into our trucks. So they should not be leaving that behind. So he should call ENV and report that, the date, the time. If he doesn't have the vehicle number, that's okay, because we know which truck was where on which route. But, if he could report that, that would be terrific.
Okay. And Representative Ono, you've seen this, I'm sure, in your district.
Oh, my gosh. Too often. Far too often. But this gentleman brings up the exact point, like we've all agreed upon, that sometimes there are locations that attract bulky items that aren't necessarily the responsibility of the property owner that fronts that little side street or that fronts that little park. I still see glaring holes in what happens when bulky items are placed around public parks. What happens when bulky items are placed in front of a homeowner who isn't responsible for those bulky items? Who's supposed to call those in? And we've seen ENV go out with the green stickers, if you've seen them around town, to sticker these items to try to send a message to those who dumped it, or maybe to the neighbors, that this is illegal. I just don't think that that's going to solve anything. It's one of the glaring holes that we need to get together and try to outsmart these folks. For those people who are out there who see that, I encourage you folks to get nosy. You've got to go talk to people, get some eyes, get some ears. I'm hoping that ENV, if you find videos or photos of people of license plates, you can at least send some people some warning letters. The prosecutors, hopefully you can keep lobbying them to get serious that this is a bigger issue than perhaps they realize, but get nosy.
Yeah, I think we should all talk to our neighbors because a lot of our neighborhoods have neighborhood watch teams. You know, dumping, illegal dumping, it's a crime, you know, punishable by fine. And so we really need to get involved as a community and talk to each other and do what we can to prevent these illegal dumps from springing up everywhere. Anyone want to take a stab at e-waste?
Oh. Hi, this is Allison from Kauai. First of all, we get state funding for our e-waste program, which is fabulous. And so we are able to pay a contractor to accept e-waste 6 days a week in a central location in Puhi. And then also we do these monthly events on the east side in Hanapepe. I'm sorry, on the west side in Hanapepe, and then up on the north shore in Kilauea at the end of the month, Saturdays and Sundays. And it's all on our website. But anyway, because the state is funding it, and because we have a state law that makes manufacturers responsible for e-waste, we do have options for the public. But besides restrictions for businesses on monitors going to the landfill, we don't have any legislation that requires people to recycle e-waste at this time. I don't know if any other county does, but so it's all voluntary, and we just are getting the word out, and, you know, when people call and ask what they can do with their e-waste, we're educating them. And it does take a while for people to understand where to go and really get it in their heads and be ready to take it in, but we're getting there, and we think we have a really good program.
I know, too, one other thing that folks are talking about is the life of solar panels. And how do we deal with this as a state? Because, you know, they've got I forget what the life is, but at some point, where do they go? Laura, you want to talk about that at all?
Not really.
I think I recall at the legislature, you know, they were talking about, okay, you know, we want to encourage people to go to solar, but should there be a fee up front, like, down the road, because, you know, maybe the folks that manufactured these panels won't be in business in 20, 30 years. And then what?
Right. Correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that reminds me of, this is Representative Ono, that reminds me of, right, the High Five program. We charge the distributor a little bit of money and hope the consumer will bring that product back for recyclables. I don't know if that's an idea that would be acceptable by the legislature, whether to charge a fee on the front end of solar panels. Of course, no one's going to be excited about paying more for doing the right thing and trying to get off fossil fuels. But we do have one of the highest penetrations of solar in the United States. And what's going to happen when the life of those solar panels reaches its end? I don't know. You may be on to the next topic, and we can discuss this in 10, 15 years when that issue comes up.
Yeah, and then we just worry about, you know, will they be out in the bulky waste pickup or what? And will they blow away in a storm?
I just want to mention that, you know, the extended producer responsibility laws are so important and something that can help municipalities manage waste, because it's not all dumped onto the municipality to take care of it. It's actually the manufacturers of these products that have to deal with them. And that's why the e-waste law is working. That's why the bottle deposit law is so wonderful to have in the state of Hawaii. And we should be looking more toward that.
I know that there is a big push for us to be environmentally correct these days, right? We've got very lofty goals for sustainability. But sometimes when the economics don't quite pencil out, as we saw with the recycling, you know, global shift, because we in the U.S. produce too much dirty recyclables that China doesn't even want it. So how are we doing with that just overall? I mean, I quite honestly was very surprised to hear about Kauai's situation, where you just don't generate enough volume to deal with the plastics. And so, you know, I imagine there are people that feel guilty because they can't do the right thing.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the trays and the stopping accepting the clamshells and trays is an impact that was felt all over the U.S. So it's not just our small volumes. It's because of the China thing. And hopefully, you know, there'll be more technology for plastic. We see a lot of stuff springing up. Recently, there was an article in the paper just yesterday about Surfrider here on Kauai had partnered with this company called Bifusion out of New Zealand, who is making building blocks out of all kinds of plastic, including marine debris, and that's why Surfrider was involved. So there are technologies, hopefully, and plastic recyclers that can spring up. I mean, the market can change. We're just in a really bad place in the market right now.
And I know Maui, you at one time had a glass recycler. I know we talked with a gentleman who had ground that glass up that was generated on the island, and he was using it for landscaping at Maui College. Shortly after we did a program on recycling, I saw something about a gentleman, I believe it was in Europe, that was trying to use that glass, I think, for repaving. So lots of new technologies, but the challenge is we just generate so much waste that we've got to get a handle on that, I guess. Any other thoughts all around on anything?
This is Bob Schmidt, Maui County Solid Waste again. I'd like to circle back to the Maui callers concerned about groundwater. And I guess one of the pitches I'd like to make is you know, we don't have a dump anymore. We have what's called a sanitary landfill. You know, it's kind of the latest technology. It's got a double liner. If you put trash in our sanitary landfill, it's completely encapsulated. It's completely insulated from the environment. And often in these environmental discussions, the landfill or the dump is the villain in the piece. You know, but I'd like to make a pitch that, you know, we're an environmental partner until the day comes where we do get to zero waste. If you put it in our sanitary landfill, it's safe, it's responsible, it's protected against harming the environment. And that's what I wanted to pitch.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it makes it most important that we are focusing on proper disposal of our items and making sure that things go in the right place, whether it be the correct cart or the correct container. And I think illegal dumping also just fits into that whole picture as well. But mm-hmm. Bob's absolutely correct as far as technology of sanitary landfills and our ability to manage types of waste that we are concerned about being pollutive. If we make sure it gets into the landfill properly, without too much impact, to the landfill and no impact to the environment.
Any final thoughts, Representative Ono?
Yes, we talked earlier about reduce, reuse, recycle. For those folks who want to reuse, I highly advise you folks, when you need a new table, rather than going to Target or Walmart, take a look at Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. You know, I think that's one of the issues that perhaps leads to more bulk items on the side is the need to buy something new. Go on Instagram, follow Apartment Therapy, and you will find some beautiful mid-century modern homes furnished through the secondhand market. I think the change in the bulky item pickup system here on in Honolulu was a welcome change. We had to do something. I just think there are still glaring holes that need to be addressed as we continue to move this forward.
Okay. Any final thoughts, Lori?
Oh, no, I just agree with Rep Ono that we definitely need to tweak the system, and I like all of the ideas he threw out on how we can better improve the community. So I look forward to working hand in hand with him.
Okay. And anything final you want to say, Allison?
Oh, I just want to thank the residents and businesses in Hawaii that do take take responsibility for their trash. I mean, we're talking about some bad guys out there doing bad stuff, but there's so many people that are very concerned about the beauty of our islands, and they are taking the proper steps to participate in the recycling programs. They care about the recycling programs. They care about waste diversion and reuse. And so just a shout out to everyone else who's doing the right thing.
Okay, thank you. So kudos to the people that are doing the right thing, and awe to those who are not. We'd like to thank our guests, Lori Kaikina, Bob Smith, Tamara Farnsworth from Maui County, and Allison Fraley from Kauai, and Representative Takashi Ono. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. If you tried to call in and couldn't get through, contact the TalkBack line and leave your comments. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us on Monday for more of The Conversation.